Right on. Welcome to another episode of, not another episode, it's the episode of the year.
The first episode of
what the fuck is that? Yeah. Sales and Marketing Edition. It's exciting to be back after a short break. How's everybody doing?
I mean, it's the third day of the year. I managed to get 1.5 days into the year before I threatened to taser somebody and I had to go take a long walk. So, I mean, I got my LinkedIn post out saying I'd made 1.5 days and like 2 hours later, I'm like, fuck this. My head was in my hands. I got up and I just went for a fucking walk. So yeah, I made it 1.5 days into the year.
Success. That's all we can hope for. Making it one day at a time.
You dealt with it in a very healthy way. You went for a walk. So that's
good. I didn't want to. A walk was not what was on my mind. Believe me, it was not on my mind. Other things were on my mind. I mean, one of two things. It was either somebody was going to get left under the table or I was going to toss in I wasn't going to do a frag grenade, probably a bloody, let's just say something was going to be left burning behind me, but I dealt with it in a more adult manner. Took a deep breath. I did count past 10 and then went for a walk.
I mean, I have to just follow your guidance based on your post yesterday and based off just breathing and doing that. Like that, I just got to follow Chris. Just follow Chris's lead.
I mean, it works sometimes. It's one of those things. I think it's, you know, I put the what do I want to see in 2024? And it was kind of one of the things. I was sitting down and I was like, okay, I want to be the change. I want to change. I want to be the change I want to see. So it's like, how do I do that? How do I continue? And this, what we do here is a huge part of that. It's, you know, you can change and you can influence. And I keep hearing so many people listening to this and watch this and do this. And so it's like, you know, continuing to do this is huge. The communication is a big one because, again, you only change if you actually are able to articulate things. I tend to try to lead how I want to be led. And then I'm getting better at the quick to listen, slow to speak. I'll work on it kind of sometimes.
That's, you know what, it's interesting that you had said that because I had sent a text message to a group that Danny and I are in. And one of the things I said I was going to need an accountability partner for this year is improving my communication skills, because I'm very similar to you in terms of I tend to jump, like I'll just jump instead of maybe pausing a second to listen. But improving those communication skills in a way that doesn't make me lose kind of like my spark, if that makes sense, because part of who I am is that kind of go-getter, like very, sometimes I'm abrasive, that's what it is, but kind of polish things out a little bit in a way that is helpful to me, but also doesn't make me lose kind of my personality. So that's interesting. Communication is a big one.
I think it's a balance, you know, and this is coming from somebody I identify as a protector. You know, I absolutely identify. And so I always want to fix things and protect. But sometimes that's not what's needed. Sometimes it is just take that step back, breathe and go, okay, I'm going to listen for a minute. And I'm just going to shut up. I'm going to listen. Because sometimes you just need to chew on the ear. So have that chew. And then we're done because you don't need me to fix whatever the hell is going on. You just need to have a nibble on the ear. And other times it is, okay, I'm listening. I'm going to keep listening. Now we've got things level set. Okay, what's actually at the root of this? This isn't what's going on. And the last couple of weeks, I've been out hanging out with a very, very good friend. And one of her little ones is of that. She's very much of it. Something's going on over here. And you're like, okay, I can't fix this, but I'm going to listen. Now let's unpack. Oh, it's something over here. Great. Now, and it's the same thing with us as adults. It's no fucking different. You know, it's we have the same thing as a CISO. You know, I'm pissed off about this, but the root cause is something over here. How do I actually dig down and identify that and then fix that instead? So yeah, it's amazing how kids will actually teach us to do those things sometimes.
They are better versions of us. Let's just say that much. Let's not wake them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mine are jet lagged and Maria today.
Maria, yes. A little bit of a recap of your holiday vacation. How was that for you?
It was so nice. I got to go out to California. We got sick. So we got, of course, the holidays hit. So Christmas Day, we were all sick with a stomach bug. And so we had to push our trip back a day or two. But we still made it and we had fun and we went out to San Diego, which my husband and I had never been to before. We had this, it was relaxing, but we did a ton of stuff with the kids. I did not open my laptop once, which I've not done in probably 6 years. So that was pretty special for me. And I had great support from teammates here. I'm not doing it. I know it's under court. I'm not doing it. And I was forwarding stuff and people were really supportive and it was really good to just kind of decompress. And now I'm ready to work.
Yeah.
I'm ready to, I got to fill out my whiteboard goals. This is my first day back. I'm still in email jail. And so this is my first like workish thing that I've done in 2024, which I couldn't think of a better way to start off the year.
No. Awesome. I love it.
Danny, love how it. About this you?
We don't have enough time to get into that. Well, I'm doing okay. I'll say it was nice. It was a nice little break last week, downtime with the family, with the girls, catching up on sleep, just spending time together. Togetherness is what I needed. But it's you know, it's a weird year transition to a new, like, I don't feel like it's a new year. So it's just a lot going on, in all honesty. But we're in good company, so that's what matters most. Staying optimistic, you know, Maria, last week, you know, in your text, you talked about growth. Last year was growth for me. For me this year, and this year is growth for you. This year for me is remaining resilient, like keeping it together. Like that's
my
year.
I love that for you.
That's all I can hope for. I don't have the long list. I just have like, just stay resilient and stay sane. That's all I'm focusing on right now. We have an interesting episode today. Before we get into the agenda and the long list, for those of you who are new to the show, how we do it here, we generally break down a crappy message or outreach, and we bring it back up, and we also open the floor for questions. So if you have questions for us, drop them in the comments, or if you want to come on live, we'll bring you on live. That's generally how we do it. Today we have an interesting agenda. Chris, I'm going to hand it over to you to kind of intro that, because this was your idea.
Well, it kind of was, but it was also, yeah, I'm going to say, so Jordan.
Shout out Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan hit us up on this one, and it's something we've been kicking around. It's like, oh yeah, okay, if we're not the only ones thinking into this and somebody's poking us about this, then we need to put some time and effort into it. So shout out to Jordan, say thank you. The general logic would be we should do an annual awards ceremony. We absolutely should do it. So we sat down behind the scenes. There's actually four of us sat down behind the scenes. Three are on the show here. Ahem is listening in, I think, at least for the first part of the show. And she was actually part of this craziness as well. And so we've come up with a number of awards, and I'm actually going to publish these at some point. I figure we'll talk about them now, and I want to see what everybody says from a comments section. Come up with a whole bunch of awards, and I'm intrigued on A, if we've got the right categories, but B, also I want to post them and then have everybody start to give their own nominations. Because if it was me, it'd be like, you know, Dark Trace Clanstrike, Dark Trace Clanstrike, Dark Trace Clanstrike. I mean, it would just be pretty simple this season. So I'm going to run through these briefly. Yeah, go for it. I'm going to run through these briefly. In no particular order yet. We'll probably will do a best order. But the first one is Ambulance Chaser of the Year. I think that one needs to be a definite award. This is going to be for basically, you know, when XYZ company gets breached, it's that first email, or it's that who's the most Johnny on the spot on the, hey, did you see the news today? You could be the next one. You know, that bullshit one that you get. So we're going to have an Ambulance Chaser of the Year, and there are definitely a number of folks who are going to be on this one. I want to, what about Bob? For those of you that remember the movie.
Best.
Oh, freaking fantastic. If you don't know the movie I'm talking about, go rent it, borrow it, beg it, steal it. Don't download it from the internet because it'll have my malware on it. So just be aware of that one. But this is. Oh, I used to payload music files and movie files all the time. So when people would download them, all of a sudden I'd get my little bot on. It's hilarious to do. I was one of those people like, hey, I've got a cheat code for this. Download this file here, and then off we go. 10 minutes later, you know, I'm getting thousands of little bots. It's kind of fun. Anyway, so what about Bob is a simple one. This is the award where you said, hi, you know, somebody outreached you and you either didn't respond, or maybe you did respond, say not interested. And it's the person that keeps going. I had one today. Somebody hit me on my personal fucking email today after me telling them on my work email to go pan sand and jump into a lake. So it's that kind of person. It's the person that just won't take no for an answer, or the autonomous system that continues to not take no for an answer. We are going to have a box of dicks of the year award. It has to be. For those of you who remember the episode a couple of weeks ago, that is definitely one me. But it's definitely going to be that present that you received, that you were given throughout the year, that you just sat there and went. So it's that one. We're going to do a worst conference of the year award. The worst conference of the year award is the conference that you went to, or that you signed up for, or that you didn't sign up for, and that conference sold your information to everybody. We're not just talking about the people and the vendors at the conference, but we're also talking about the people that were never at the conference. We're talking about the conference also sold your information to every catalog company, every damn woman, beast, man, child, on planet, off planet person, data collector known on this planet and everywhere else. So that's the worst conference. Conversely, we're going to have a best conference of the year award as well. We're going to have one about that one. It's kind of like, it's that conference that you went to, you're like, holy smoke, this was absolutely fantastic. Maria had to dash off for a second. Her young one apparently needs some help. So we'll deal with that one. So we're going to have the best email of the year award. We're absolutely going to have the best email of the year award, which is kind of the one I like, which is, it's, we need to recognize that there are good people out there, which is definitely the award, which is like, hey, they sent it. It was cold. It needs to be the cold inbound email that you were like, okay, this actually freaking works. Not only does this work, but you actually reached out and you talked with them, and it was a very positive and engaging situation. We're going to have the same thing with the best LinkedIn. We'll have the best LinkedIn one. Same thing, same idea. It's that one where you're like, holy smoke, this is actually pretty cool. And off we go. Now, conversely, we're going to have worst email of the year. Now, I'm going to read verbatim my description. The worst email is the one that you didn't finish and then went back and reread it, finished it, printed it, burnt it, shredded the remains, and vowed to set fire to their booth at the next conference. That's the description. And by the way, we'll put all these descriptions in a post. That'll be the worst LinkedIn outreach as well. It's the LinkedIn in mail that made you block them, but their friends, their company, the dog, the entire country, and you reported everybody to somebody who knows a thing or two about concrete Wellingtons. In other words, it was that inbound one that you were like, I hate you. There will be, and I had to Google that award. This is probably for the CISOs out there, which is like, I have no freaking clue what you're talking about. I have no clue what the acronyms are. I have to Google this. So it's going to be that one. There is the one that I'm going to call the Gates of Graceland Award, or Graceland. Well, how do you pronounce that? That's like Graceland?
Maybe. Graceland.
Graceland.
I think. I don't know. I'm not from there, but I'm going off the Paul Simon song.
That works. We're going after the Graceland Award. So that's the award where you get nothing until, you know, you've been, what do they call it? Registration blocked, cock blocked, registration blocked, whatever you want to call it. You've been blocked from actually getting anything, doing anything until you've handed everything over. So on LinkedIn, it's the, hey, download our free report only after you've handed over everything about your company, your man, woman, beast, child, your firstborn, and everybody else, and you got something. So there'll be the Gates of Grace and the Award. And then there's finally, and probably finally some now, let's just put it this way, because I think Danny's put it up on this one, which is there'll be a thank you award. And that's going out to all of you, everybody that's listening into us, everybody that's continued to listen into us, folks that the folks that have contributed, folks that are part of this, folks that continue to say hi. We kind of want to give everybody an award just to say thank you. I mean, there'll be an individual one, but really it's a shout out to everybody. Now, not only are we going to nominate, or I'm going to ask everybody here, and it'll be all over LinkedIn to nominate for these, but we're also going to send out awards. Between the four of us, we have a number of different things that we are debating for awards. There will be Highland Cow-based ones, there'll be fluffy ones, there'll potentially be wall-hanging ones. There's things sitting on toilets, there's things pooping, there's... you name it, we're working through it. So we need to figure out that. So...
long story short, my gosh, I got a kick out of those, by the way. I'm gonna get some for me.
They're so much fun. So long story short, huge shout out to Jordan for kicking that inspiration into action. Much appreciated on that one. I just love it. It's kind of a fun one. So my thought is, we've kind of kicked this idea around. I think we'll let everybody here talk about it, get some ideas on it. If anybody here, everybody's listening in on this one, has got some other JDAM award that needs to be blown. Yeah, that is actually not a bad one. It's the award for who deserves the fleet of B-52s. Actually, that might have to happen. It's the B-52 award. Yeah, all right, I like that one. It's going to be the company that needs to be carpet bombed out of existence. Yep, all right, Tim, love it. So this is it. I want more thoughts on this one. And actually, they might have to get a B-52 or a JDAM, one or both. So that's me. I'm going to shut up for a second because I'm going to write this one down.
No, I love this. You know, as you see in the ticker at the bottom, if you have nominations for categories or new categories, by the way, by all means, please drop them in the comments. I mean, I could put out a post for votes as well. That could be interesting.
Do we want to do, so then here's what I was thinking. Do we want to, and this is, please chime in, everybody in the chat, but are we trying to do this where, because this I don't think we've talked about, where it's us nominating, or do we want to have the audience participate in these nominations for the actual recipients?
Oh, I would love the audience to be. This to me is, I want to get all this sorted out. We're gonna hit this one. We'll get this all sorted out. And I say all of us, we publish it together individually, whatever, and go, okay, these are the categories. Y'all start basically, we want nominations. And then I think what'll happen is, we can keep this document going, or this, whatever it is, this notes are going on iCloud. We can start putting names and companies. And honestly, I think at this point, four of us get together, however many of us get together, and we figure out like, okay, who's up for this? Who deserves it? I cannot vote all the time because it would just be, Arctic Wolf, Clam Strike.
Yeah.
Arctic Wolf, Clam Strike, Doctrine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll put out a survey. I'll create a survey based off of our document here, and put it out. It's super, super simple, open answers. People drop it in for we can run it for like 2 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, and then aim to do it like the last week in January.
Yeah, we could do that. Does that sound good, everyone? Thumbs up for yes. I want to bring on Jordan to say thank you. Where's Jordan?
Hi, Jordan.
Hey.
So this was Jordan's fault. Oh no, we can't hear you, Jordan. This was Jordan's fault.
Totally.
Looks like Jordan's having audio issues.
Ruh-roh. Well, while he's
this is Jordan, everyone.
Round of applause
for Jordan.
While he's having audio issues, I'm going to take Tim's idea, which was, I called it the B-52 award. That company, you simply sat back, picked up the red phone, and called in a squadron of heavy bombers to carpet bomb them out of existence. I'll reword it a little bit, but that's the general idea. So shout out to Tim on this one. Jordan, do we have you on audio? Damn it. All right, we'll have to rectify that somehow or other.
But everybody, this is Jordan, and Jordan is awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, Jordan.
What Jordan's over at Ox Security, I think, right? Just say yes if you. Yes, I don't know. Perhaps Jordan. From what I saw.
He's over.
We will try.
Oh yeah, he's on the marketing side over there. Good God's alive.
Yeah, he's doing content. Yeah,
I love it. This is my totally kind of cool. Guy. Yeah, love him.
Yeah. All right, Jordan. We'll try later. We appreciate you, man. Okay. Cool. Do we have any breakdowns?
Has anybody else come? Let me. I just want to see if there's another one. Hang on. I'm seeing if we've missed any other ones.
What about if at the beginning of it? Now, since we're just kind of spitballing, what about if at the beginning of it, Danny, could we do like a breakdown of the actual year in review of 2023 of the podcast? What was the most listened to episode? Highest.
Yeah, we could do
highest.
That.
Attendance count, most participants on an episode, or something like that. Just kind of like.
Yeah, you want to do a live stats breakdown? We could do
that.
Yeah,
I think that would be cool to show everybody the growth of what this thing has become in the last, year.
Tracy's got all caps on at the moment. Tracy, why do you have all caps on? And the worst vendor award to me is actually, I've got the What About Bob. I think the What About Bob one covers that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that one's covered out. I don't take no for an answer. To me, that one's the What About Bob one.
I'm saying... Yeah.
I like the idea. Clark said if there's a Google form to fill that out, that makes perfect sense. I love that idea. the Boeing bomb. No, I should probably never mention Boeing in a public forum because we still don't really see eye to eye. So we'll hold off on that one for the minute. Yeah, I think that's fun. What any other thoughts, any other ideas from anybody either listening in or from you two on like other awards? I think we've got a decent amount. We might need to prune it a little bit. We'll see. We can kick it back, maybe kick back a couple because we're going to be buying a whole bunch of these damn cows and things and we've got to figure out how to send them to people. These are all going to, anybody that actually gets an award is getting sent something.
Yeah, the Google searches that Chris must have, he must have really gone down a rabbit hole based on the photos of the awards he sent Danny and I last night.
Thankfully, I did not do it on the work computer. We'll just leave it at that. And yeah, I do not have to report myself to myself because of my own violations of my own policies.
I'm looking for the post. I actually did a post about
I think we could also do it like something like this, Chris, too, where some people maybe don't want us getting an address or something like that, so we leave it up. You get a physical award or we'll take a small donation towards like a charity of your
choice. I like that one. Yeah, that works too. Yeah, that's a perfect idea. Yeah, so
those that aren't comfortable with giving you specifically their addresses.
We can find it anyway.
Yeah, just like...
Hacker.
I seriously need that Highland Cow swag to add to my collection. Which is no longer mine, Maria, by the way, because it was so cute that it got stolen from me.
Aw, I was Danny's secret elf for Chris for the holidays this year, and I sent her the cutest little like Highland Cow succulent planner thing. It was so freaking cute.
It was a planter. I thought it was like a coin, like a bank.
you're supposed to get a little. I didn't sell a plant because I didn't know.
I thought it was a piggy bank.
It's a planner. I'm sorry, it's a planter, but you can use it as a coin.
I could collect random notes and put it inside. That'll close the loop there. Say hi. Say hi.
We have another. Oh,
hi, Kai.
Hello.
This is what 3 weeks of vacation looks like. Okay. All right. You want to run through?
We have one more quick nomination that came out, which I like the idea, which is, I don't know if we've covered it, but it's that email that came. It's the, Alan said basically the biggest dick award. And to some degree it is that, but it's that email that came in that gives you that like moment. But I'm not sure if we've covered it in like the B52 award. It's the one where you want to reach through the screen, grab hold of the individual by the neck and just kind of like, I don't know, punch them maybe once or twice or three, or smack them upside with a wear, all of these kind of good things. But I don't know if we've got that covered somewhere else. So maybe, maybe not. It might be the B52 award, maybe. Because actually, to me, the B52 award could be for an individual or an organization. I think that might be a good way of putting it. Because otherwise, it's just going to be Arctic Fox. I mean, let's face it. CloudStrike, Apple, Microsoft.
I think once we get these... once we get the form set up and stuff, it'll flush a lot of this.
Yeah. So I'm.
All right. Sorry. It's taking me longer because I'm trying to log in. I don't have things numbered, but I know which one is the most popular episode.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Because I do the stats and I see like, I measure how many attendees come on live because we do the podcast across different channels. We have the audio, which we post afterwards. We have the lives, which is the primary, episode. So I measure how many attendees join. By the way, I think we have 83 on right now, which is pretty good. And then how many minutes are consumed even after. Right across all platforms, so I have a big ass matrix here. Actually, one of the more popular episodes was when Maria came on to swap you, Chris, when you were out traveling, which was great. And then that sparked the conversation. I'm like, well, this is doing really well, and people are engaging, and here Maria is now, which is awesome.
Hey, I'll take more breaks if people I'm more breaks.
Oh my gosh.
This reminds me. So when I was at Boom, I used to stand up and do like the monthly stuff at All Hands. We do like a security briefing at All Hands. And then I took a break and Tara did it, which was actually fantastic. She came on and would do them. And everybody was like, well, we really like her. She's nicer than you. I'm like, well, then she can do most of them. And it was fantastic because it was great. She got full airtime the whole lot. I loved it.
It gives her the opportunity to get in front of the executives and stuff. That's good. That's great.
Totally.
She's kick-ass at that kind of stuff for sure.
Yeah.
You know what we should do also? We should ask. So I basically, I think part of the survey as well, we can ask people what their favorite episode is. Anybody who's listening as well, kind of get a gauge on that.
I like that.
Yes. I mean, obviously we have like 50 or so episodes, which is a lot, or 47 at this stage, which is a lot to listen to if you haven't listened already. But I actually named each of the episodes based off of the crappy tactic and have the summary. So you can also take a look at that as well if you want to read through.
Oh, hey, I know what I was going to say. That Podbeam link I sent, is that the right one to get it? Is that the best one?
That's the updated one.
Marvelous. I'm using that in my emails. So whenever I send an out, and I just sent like seven of them now this morning, like the outbound emails to people that send me inbound shenanigans, I'm like, hey, read this.
Yeah. So I'm dropping it in the comments right now so people can take a look at the summaries.
I love it. I think it's fantastic. I kind of, part of me wants to use that every week, but I like also having I like having this one. So I like the Podbeam one for anybody that's just being a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Oh, it's good stuff. Well, it's not letting me post right now, so I'll post it later. Another one. So Maria's was pretty popular. We had episode 26, and I don't know, remember which one that is because these ones are not numbered and I'm not going to count live.
I'm going to hit Podbeam now.
But another one, let's see. Which one was your favorite? Let's kind of go in and talk about which one from the past year was your favorite. If you look at the Podbeam link here, I'm going to drop it for you, Maria.
I'm looking at here's the problem with Podbeam. It doesn't have the episodes labeled as in what number.
Yeah, that is the problem. I have to take a look at an option to do that, or maybe I'll have to manually go in and put them in.
I have no clue. How many of these bloody things have we done?
This 47. Is number 47.
It's a lot of freaking episodes.
A lot of episodes.
We started November last year. November 7th. Oh, that was my birthday last year. We started. How do we have teenage angst? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. So it goes from most recent to oldest. I mean, I like the teenage angst.
I like that one.
Drama queen. That one was pretty good because he was sassy.
Oh, Black Hat was 27.
Black Hat. Yep. So 26 was popular, really popular.
So it is nail polish. No, before you go to Black Hat. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's okay. So it looks like the precursor and the Black Hat ones. Actually, that makes life interesting. Then. So I like the idea of doing, and this might be a good conversation for people here, which is, you know, is it useful for us to do like the pre and the at major conference things? Because if it is, we'll keep those going because those are actually kind of fun.
I do think before I joined, I found those to be actually wildly helpful, like, because it would help me. I remember last year before RSA, I don't know if it was me or somebody had asked the question, like, how does somebody get in touch with you while at something like this? And you were like, you don't, unless you talked to me in December and found out what my schedule was going to look like. Or you gave us some really good insights into these massive shows. You've given us insights into some of the smaller shows, but then it was kind of cool to come back post show and recap kind of like what happened and who you were able to engage with and how those people were successful in like getting time with you, FaceTime with you and that kind of thing. Or I thought, like, because that was how I was able to finally meet Alan in person, is you gave us that advice on the podcast. And then I was like, okay, got online and was like, where is this guy going to be? Shot him a note. We were both in our boots at the time, so I had something personal to talk about and was able to meet him based on just kind of that approach. So I thought I liked the pre and post show ones myself.
I wonder if we should do that again. That might be useful because my 2024 calendar is starting to, I wouldn't say get full, but I've got, I think there's like 10, 15 things on it already.
And so I mean, let's face it, we're all going to be at most of us are, the three of us are going to be at a lot of these things together. So then you could do even one live while we're there. So you have a pre-live post.
That might actually not be a bad idea. Oh, I just saw somebody, I got LinkedIn user, I'm afraid. Why doesn't Chris write an automated script that continuously emails vendors to remind them that he's still not buying from them?
Did we talk about you doing something like that?
And I totally spaced on it. I completely
That was George, by the way.
I know. George. Why does George never show up as LinkedIn? George and Justin
George and
both
Justin,
show up as LinkedIn.
Yeah. I have no idea.
George, thank you. That is going to, I wonder, you could actually have that as a service. I wonder, because could we use Salesforce against itself? I wonder if we could do that. Ooh, could Salesforce as a revenge service. Oh my God.
Welcome to 2024 WTF planning, everybody.
I am writing that down in my book.
We crowdsource ideas.
This is what I write a lot of my notes in. I know I have my tech in front of me and everything else, but honestly, most of the time I write my stuff down in here.
This is mine. shove them everywhere, all over my wall.
I think that needs to happen. I wonder if we can actually, I mean, there's like the automail. I keep getting hit up with these people like, hi, would you like a list? I'm like, no, but would you like to email people for me? I mean, we could have this one.
Yeah.
Chris, if anyone can, you can. Yeah, I know. There we go. What are we on today? I'm guessing that's so I said dry. That's the January 24. Use Salesforce against itself.
I would just like to look at your notepad of random thoughts.
No, good God, no. I mean, this is like evidence. I mean, good grief, there's evidentiary stuff in here, but not that I plot to overthrow governments too often or bring down dictatorships or military or religions, but every now and again, it is fun to actually plan that stuff out just for shits and giggles.
Right. By the way, really, I'm having a squirrel or donkey moment. I just got accepted by the one and only Jasper.
I got the same one. I finally freed up I got rid of a whole. Okay, so new LinkedIn policy for me. If thou art faceless and has only a default face, thou art stands a good chance of being kicked out of my connections because I need to make space because I keep hitting this 30,000 limit. Yeah, so I did that, and then I got jaspered yesterday as well, so I'm very, very happy.
You get doing this for over a year, you get really good at sniffing out what are the fake profiles or the like really, really sales outreach profiles.
Yeah,
get really good at it. Sometimes
we should do an episode on that. We actually should do an entire episode on that because there are a bunch that come in and it takes time. It takes time and it takes effort. I mean, I still get probably a couple of times a week now. They've actually calmed down. I'm not getting quite as many wonderfully beautiful like Asian ladies hitting me up telling me that they work for all these different companies and how they're wonderful and all of this shenanigans. And they've kind of given up on me. I don't know what's coming next. Maybe like a Butch Builder or something. Maybe they're just trying to figure out what gets me going. But
do you think it's just slowed down because there was a holiday break? I think it's going to get worse this year with all this
the AI stuff. And I do wish LinkedIn actually, I need so on the search criteria, dear LinkedIn, if you're listening, I could do with, and maybe I'll do a post on this one, with LinkedIn wish list. There are some things I would like to see because when you actually go into your connections, there's only a few criteria you can use to sort connections. And there'd be things I want to see. Like I want to see a connection that has only a default image that doesn't have a proper image because most of those I'm going to whack. I want to see one that doesn't have any changes in like the last 6 months because again, those are going to likely get whacked. There's a bunch of criteria I'd like to see that LinkedIn exposes.
You know, with all the updates that they've done with like, you know, the writing mechanisms and, you know, their advertising platform, which makes sense, obviously, they haven't done any updating with the filtering, which is so weird. With the audience.
Even a navigator for like me to use, it's still kind of clunky.
Yeah, I think it's one of those, you know, there are probably quite a few people that are hitting that 30,000 limit. And it's like, hey, come on, get either up the freaking limit. Or give us a better, because here's the other problem. I can do other searches, but then it's like six clicks to unfollow somebody. at least in the simple searches, like right click, unfollow, right, remove connection or whatever it is. I want the easy button, please. Yeah. I'm actually gonna do a post on that. I kind of like that idea.
Do we have questions from the audience? Because we're 35 in, and I want to make room for any questions. We just started the new year, so this is the time to ask the questions. I know that we have a question from 2 weeks ago from Ali. So I don't know. Do we want to touch on that?
Yeah, let's hit that one. I like that one.
It's a relevant one now, especially too, because some might be still closing deals. Some are opening deals. And the question from 2 weeks ago from Ali was, some salespeople are openers while others excel at closing sales. How can those two types of people most effectively engage with you or work with you effectively?
Yeah, I think it's so. To me, this is, and Maria, you and I were talking a little bit about this behind the scenes, and I think, and she might still be online listening. We'll find out if I got it right or wrong. But this is one of those things where, you know, the initial outreach is often done by somebody who's good at an opener, business development, somebody else. So that typical person is like, okay, your task is to go poke Chris until he responds in kind to you. Don't let him growl, but poke him in kind. But those folks are not always often the closers. And it seems to be, and Maria, you tell me if I'm wrong, I haven't found too many people who are good at both opening and closing. There seems to be, there's some great people who are good at doing it, but there seems to be a lot of times when there's just people are very focused on one side or the other. And it's, as a CISO, how would I want that to appear to me? Do I want to be handed around six different people, like a re-gifted present? Or do you present it as a team effort, or how does that work? So there's some interesting ones.
I think every organization's run differently, and every sales team is going to have their own preferred way of how they do stuff.
Yeah.
In my opinion, anything that I'm getting from market, I have a number. I know what my number is. I know what I need to do to hit it. I know how many meetings I need to have, how many sales qualified leads I need to have, how many of those I need to convert into sales qualified opportunities, and how many of those I need in my pipeline to hit the number for the quarter. I know. So then I work backwards from there. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, and it's different though. Typically, a lot of times folks that are setting up, those that are doing that poking, a lot of times that's kind of their first foray into the realm of sales. And so they're cutting their teeth, and they're not necessarily going to be fully equipped always to carry the conversation further. That's not necessarily their role. But to me, anything I'm getting from like a BDR, SDR, or marketing, that's a bonus above and beyond what I should, like the number's my number. So my goal each quarter is to go source the leads I need myself. Now, realistically, that never happens, but that's the mindset, the mindset I have. I need help. I do think that people that are closers need to be good at all of it. To an extent, because again, the closer is the one that the overall number is completely tied to. The BDRs do have a part of it in terms of how many meetings they need to set and stuff like that. But the flip side of that is, if you're doing your job right as a senior, like I would say what I do as an account executive or a regional sales manager or whatever the role is, we're more seasoned in the sales profession. You should also be coaching, mentoring, training, doing everything you can to help that person that's setting meetings for you get out of that role as soon as humanly possible. Because that's, like, let's face it, that's not fun to have to do all day. No. But I do think if you're separating the roles, like, so if I start a conversation, I get the lead, you're stuck with me the entire time. I will bring in subject matter experts. They're not sellers. They're experts that work with me. Yeah. Versus when my BDR sets something up, they're very articulate and just say, hey, I'm just the person here that's trying to get in touch with you. We understand, you know, if you have any interest, here's who Newspire is. Here's, check out Maria on LinkedIn. She seems to know what she's doing. Would you be open to a conversation? She will carry the conversation forward from there. And that's how me and my team kind of handle that, I guess.
Okay, so I have a question on this one. And this is, maybe this is why we're having such a problem. So think about this. I get where you're going with that, and I've seen it too often, but it just suddenly hit me. I'm like, maybe that's why we're having such a fucking problem. Perfect example was you. You've got knowledge, you've got experience, you've got length, you know how to handle people. which is why we didn't growl. We had good conversations. But when a company puts its least experienced people as the first line of communication with somebody like me, who's a pain in the ass veteran of this neck of the woods, then it, is there any wonder why there's such a vicious backlash?
Well, I think Matt Mariner says it perfectly here. BDRs are closing too. Their close is booking the meeting. So I think we have to make sure we're understanding. They're a critical part of this ecosystem. I think there's a difference in understanding, and the buyers need to understand this too. The sellers, me, I can't do all of that and then support you, my client, support prospects through the sales funnel and be effective and do that well. It's just not possible. I think there needs to be a level of kind of like expectation setting that this person isn't going to be the most knowledgeable technically, or anything like that. But what they are going to be able to articulate is what the company does, pain points that we address, and be persistent in asking if you'd like to have further conversation. That's all you can expect from that type of role, at least initially going into it. And the really good ones are going to be learning how to build those relationship skills. Chris, your first conversation wasn't with me. It was with my BDR. He reached out to you because you guys had a talk about purple hair because he had purple hair too.
Right. Okay. Like, that makes sense.
So you teach these people how to do that stuff. And then typically when I was at New Spire, when we were building out our direct model, I didn't have BDRs. So I was doing all of it. And I firmly believe that the best BDRs that are effective in getting those meetings, because that's the hardest part, right? They have actually the hardest part of this whole thing. They are going to be dynamite salespeople when they progress to that next level of their career. But it's up to the organization to train those people to do the things the right way. You can't just be generic and unpersonalized and all that kind of stuff. You've got to do it the right way.
Well, I think that's where the problem lies, is you're throwing fresh meat at somebody like me, and I'm going to tear them into shreds. But if you've had somebody that understands the BDR or has been trained effectively to talk about the purple hair or to add an extra layer of conversation to personalize it and all these other things to be more effective and more efficient, then at least that way they're less likely to run into, you know, freaking me at 9 o'clock in the morning with razor wire.
Yeah. I just saw Ally's comment. He doesn't let his BDRs reach out to people like Chris. I remember when I got the meeting booked on my calendar with Chris, I was pissed. Like, you reached out to him. What did you do? But he did. But this he doesn't. He actually he's not no longer with us. He's moved to a new organization as a senior account executive. He's doing wonderful stuff. His name's Riker Rodakowski. If you aren't connected, you should connect with him. He's a good dude. But he did it the right way. Like, he came in, he wasn't doing anything. It wasn't a spray and pray. It was a very targeted, you were just getting back from, or heading out to, where the heck were you going out with Montana? You were heading out to Montana or something like that and doing some horseback riding. And you guys talked about that and you agreed to chat with us. So, I mean, there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. But again, if you're going to break it up to the original question, if it's going to be a segmented approach, just be honest about that from the very beginning. Like, you're not going to be with me the whole way through, or you're going to have me for this portion. When we get to this portion, we're going to do something else, so on and so forth. So, like, I just think be transparent about what you're doing.
I think you just hit it. Be transparent. That's probably the big one. Yeah.
I talked about that yesterday with Clark about transparency and honesty, just leading with it from all sides. That's the way to go. Shout out to Clark, by the way. We have a question from James, which I want to touch on. So he asked two questions, actually. I don't know if it was the extension. One broad question, one more specific. So he asked, it's Q1. Is there still opportunity?
Yes.
I mean, yes, in numerous different ways. I mean, there's always opportunities throughout the year. Has the budget been? No. Okay, let me rephrase this. If the organization had been where the organization should be and needed to be, then would the budget have been set by now? Yes. Has it been at this moment in time? TBD. But in most organizations, at least a fundamental / rudimentary budget has been set. Expectations have been set. Q1, 2, 3, 4 stuff has been set. All those other good things have been done. But within those budget, there's still wiggle room. There's still like the, hey, this is what I've got set, and this is like discretionary. Hey, Or what ends up happening is you're like, hey, I've got the, oh, hang on, this is actually, I can reuse it over here. Or, you know, perfect example, let's just turn and say one of the things we're looking at doing this year's name, maybe email and DNS. Well, if I can actually have something that can do that and a couple of other things at the same time, then great. Now I can look at shuffling things around. So yeah, there's always opportunity, but you got to be careful how you do it.
What do you need to be careful about?
I think going with the right set of expectations. Don't go in there and immediately expect to have a woohoo moment. Just go in there and go. And it's more of a positioning conversation. I think in Q1, it's very much a case of like, hey, I understand your budget's already set. I understand you already probably have your priorities for this year. I understand you got your goals and things. Do you have any room for adjustments? We'd like to have a conversation with you about what we bring to the table. We think we can be a differentiator. Knowing that you've been there a year or two, you're probably looking at more maturing these areas and maybe doing some stuff over here. Here's where we think we could actually help. Here's where we think maybe we could like refocus you. Here's maybe where we think we can actually help you from a cybersecurity framework. Are you interested in having a conversation? Done. Simple.
I think too, like, for, I don't know, for the other sellers curious, but Q1 for me tends to be heavy initial meetings. We call them SQL, sales qualified leads, right? The BDR or the business development rep BDR has, Justin and Riker on here. These guys were both previous business development representatives for me. Yay. That's cool.
I got Riker. I'm looking at Riker on LinkedIn at the moment because I was just looking at this one from May of last year. The golf outing thing.
Yep. Oh my God. That's so funny. But anyways, what I was going to say is it's a heavy like first call quarter for my company or for me. Usually every year we have a lot of initial, you know, qualifying calls. And I am like, I have just learned to cut to the chase with these things. Cause like nobody just wants to sit on a phone call and talk about what I do. Like you can look on my website. It's pretty clear what we do. No one wants to waste 30 minutes. So I just get on there and I say, hey, my name's Maria. I'm going to keep this super casual. I thank whoever set up the meeting for us. Thank you. And I let them get off the call so they can go do their actual job if they want to, or they can stay on and listen for training purposes. And then I'm just like, we've got 30 minutes. I want to make sure we use the most of your time. What prompted you to take the call with me today? That way I can get you information that's relevant to you in the time that we have in a way that makes sense. And usually if you just say that, I have found that to be so helpful because right away I can see, okay, I've got a low level person that just really likes to take phone calls for whatever reason. And there's still some of that out there just to learn other, it's a way that they learn about the industry and different things that are out there. Totally cool with that. But I'm also not going to spend 30 minutes with you. I'm going to get you the information on who we are, what we do, ask if you have questions and let you go on your merry way. Versus other people will say, you know, it leaves it so open-ended that, and you're kind of showing a level of, I don't want to waste your time so quickly that people appreciate it to an extent. And they'll give you the details on, I'm working on this. I notice you guys maybe do this. I need help with this. These are my initiatives. Can you tell me how you would help with this? And now I'm not boring you with 1,000 slides. I usually don't even have a single slide up for that initial conversation. It's just, what is your problem? And here's how I could potentially fix it. And then I don't even tell them how. They tell me what the problem is. And then I say, I can help with that. Do you want to schedule a longer discussion? Cause I don't have time right now to tell you how, cause now we only have nine minutes left. Yeah. Or I can't help you with that at all, but I have 4 industry friends. I'm not affiliated with them whatsoever. I can make an introduction. I trust them. They're good people. They can help you with that. Easy peasy. That's it.
I think that's a big one. And then to your point, the Q1 thing, back to that, you know, the Q1 conversation as well. When you think about it, a perfect example, let's just say, well, let's pick DNS and email again. There are a list of vendors to talk with about DNS. Some of them are going to fall out because I just don't want to deal with them. And then you're looking at the rest, like, okay, who do I want to talk with? And Maria, exactly to your point, it's going to be partly me outreach, partly inbound stuff, but probably a lot of outreach and going, hey, can we have a conversation about DNS and email? And realistically, that first conversation, if it's me reaching out, that first conversation is to gauge how the company is. It's just to look at the people inside the company to see if I even want to freaking deal with them. It's less about the tech and the solution because everybody brings relatively similar solutions to the table. You know, there's variances, but relatively similar solutions to the table. And so at that point, now you're going, okay, can I deal with the humans that are there?
Well, that's it. People buy from people they like. Like that's, there's 40,000, not really, but there's a bunch of people that do what I do. There's a bunch of people that do DNS. There's a bunch of people that do email filtering. Which one are you going to buy from? The people that treat you nicely, the people that you feel like you can trust. And more importantly, all of this shit breaks all the time. So who, somebody you feel like is going to be there with you when something doesn't go the way it was supposed to and is transparent about what happened and doesn't, and is just willing, you know, wants to work together to fix the issue or whatever. That's, it's not, this is not hard.
that's the big one. And I think that to me is, that's the critical and core one. And we talked about this right at the beginning when we were working on stuff. It was very open, and I was very open about it as well. I'm like, it ain't going to go right. It never does. It's what happens when. Go for it, Danny.
I have a question. So we talked about Q1 opportunity, but in general, so James was asking also if there's opportunity for specific, you know, products or domains of products, MDR, SOC, vulnerability management. Piggybacking off that question, how does one gauge what your priority is in Q1, given you've done the homework and the planning prior on what you need in the future? Like, I don't know if my question is making sense, and maybe Maria.
Oh, it makes absolute sense. But Maria's approach was the best way of dealing with it.
Yeah.
If you come to me and say, hey, you know, you need MDR and stuff, I'm going to fuck off actually, because I got a bunch of that already running. But if you come to me and say, hey, look, I got some stuff. This is what we're up to. Would love to have a conversation, see if this is of interest. Or to Maria's point, it's like, hey, basically what ails you? And whether you can figure it out or not, hey, you got 30 minutes to sit down for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and just talk about what the plans are for 24. And kind of leave it at that. Because, I mean, again, every company is going to be different. Every company's different stage of maturity. Every company's going through different transitions. There's very few that you're going to hit where it's a rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. I think that's the big one, is you can't take that spray and pray email and assume it's going to hit everybody. You literally have to target it. I mean, for me, you know, I know what I'm looking at in 24. I mean, I literally am working on it. I've had two messages inbound now, what I'm looking at for 2024.
Maria, how do you measure that? Like, is there a way, again, I'm going to try and articulate this as best I can, but let's say you're trying to sell specific service or let's say we're trying to tap in a particular domain. How do you, like, it could be sporadic and all over the place depending on the particular company. Do you go based off of like what you need to, I don't know how to articulate this.
So let me see if I can help. So is, how do you know, like, so going back to James' question, is there still opportunity for XYZ deals to happen in 2024? So I'm going to take it a different direction, maybe. I think there's still opportunity for all of the things all of us are selling for two reasons. It may not be in the budget, but there's a lot of turnover right now in the market where people are not happy with whoever they're using for a certain thing because there's been a failure too many, or transparency isn't there and there's a lack. And so now it's not a budget. It's not a budget conversation. It's a, how would you do this differently and show me? And the budget's already there. So there's a lot of that that's happened in Q4 for me. Going into Q1, I have a few deals that are just that. They're unhappy with somebody they're already using. I'm going to come in and I'm going to show them how I can do it different, better, or the same, but with a different approach or whatever. So I think that's one thing. I think the other thing is, for whatever, and I think it might be harder for a SaaS company, because a lot of the SaaS products, unless you have a super crazy differentiator, are almost commoditized at this point. But the same has almost become true for what I do in the services side. People, it's pretty apparent people need more people. They need eyes, they need help, they need expertise, so on and so forth. And so for services, I can't speak to the SaaS stuff. I would love for a SaaS seller to join us one day in the cybersecurity space, because I know nothing about that. And so having somebody to share that kind of perspective would be great. But from a services perspective, there's an easy way to create opportunity. If somebody says the pain point is here, there's an easy way to offset stat headcount or you know, helping folks if the pain's there, helping folks find budget and creating the opportunity within the organization. I hope that helped. I don't know.
It certainly did. And it might be worth having a conversation about selling SaaS products versus services.
Because it's totally, remember when we had at the cyber marketing con, that was a big for the marketers there was, I forget which one, who it was, but he was services. Yeah. And a lot of stuff is geared towards here's how you sell SaaS versus here's how you sell services. Carlos and I talk about this all the time. It's totally different.
Right. I think the other, I mean, so again, to piggyback off what Maria is saying, so many companies are at so many different stages. No two ways about it. I mean, for me, as I look at bringing Boom, in theory, I've been there, almost 2 years. So this is like year three in theory, 1 year in the middle of it, then one full, and now this. And I'm laying out a maturity roadmap. So, I mean, maybe that's another way of looking at it. As you approach somebody like me in a position, if you've done your research and you see they've been a CISO or a senior leader at an organization for more than 12 months, you know, if they're doing their job properly, that they are maturing their program, that they're not doing the basics and the fundamentals. They've hopefully gotten a lot of that stuff in place. So now the conversation isn't, hey, you need this stuff. It's like, how do I help you mature it? How do I help take your maturity level from maybe a repeatable to a dependable level? How do I help you go from a NIST CSF level 2 to a much more effective level 3 and maybe to a level 4? How do I maybe help you controls and procedures and policies? Can what I am bringing to you, either as a SaaS model or a service model or something like that, how could that actually aid you and benefit you? So free up resources, consolidate architecture. I mean, the resources and the architecture are some of the biggest conversations to have this day and age. We're all constrained for budgets. We're all having to look at the numbers. Everybody's turning around and going, how do I do more either with the same or with less? And how do I become more effective? So if you turn that conversation from, hey, I'm going to give you something new to go, hey, I know you're maturing it. I know you've had a year and a half to get your feet under there. Are there opportunities for us to help consolidate? Are there opportunities for us to help free up some time and some resources by what we're doing and how we're developing and how we can be more effective? Can we help you with controls? Those are conversations that a CISO is going to be like, let's talk.
Yep. Or like another way that I do that, because I'm a less is more when I'm asking questions person. Because I want to leave it as open-ended as possible. When I see, if I see you May 2022, I'm going to say, Chris, I saw you just started. I'm going to wait 3 months till I even reach out to you, let you get your feet underneath you and say, I'm assuming you're dealing with a lot of the tactical bullshit that goes into figuring out your security program. Let me know if there's anything I can do to help versus 18 months down the road, it's more of a strategic conversation.
Yeah.
So you've been here long enough. I'm sure you've handled a lot of the tactical stuff. You've got your hit list. You've hammered through a lot of that. What are you doing about the strategic long-term plan? Can we talk
about
that?
That's a really nice one. Yeah, that's a really, really good way of looking at it, because you're right. You're 100% correct. You walk in and the first X period of time is very, very tactical. I mean, you're trying to get there because you have to do and report and gain awareness and all that stuff. But now it's much more, you're 100% correct. And that's a really nice approach on that one, because now you've recognized the probably where they are.
But without making assumptions, like saying NIST 3.0 to 4.0 or blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Totally. No, I like it. No, that's a really nice way of looking at it.
All right, we have a minute and a half left. Last thoughts before we sign off.
Thanks for starting my 2024 off on a beautiful note, my friends. And it's great to see so many people here. I love seeing old friends, new friends. This is like a
good stuff.
Well-attended episode. I love it.
Very well attended. Great episode, chock full of knowledge. If you know anybody who needs to listen to this, please share this with them. Please bring them to the show next week. We post every Wednesday live, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, we love all of you who are dedicated to getting better, and all the newbies who are here. This is exciting. So we're very much looking forward to the growth of this channel. Chris.
I'm going to echo the sentiments. This is a really nice way to kick off 2024. No two ways about it. I will go back to one of the things I said I want to do in 24, which is be the change I want to see, which this to me is a huge part of that. You know, we can all stand there and throw rocks at things, or we can get in and go, look, this is how we like to see things done. This is how we want to see things done. This is the approach. And, you know, between this and yes, a bit of tongue in cheek stuff with the awards, but I think it's a blend of hopefully some good knowledge for people and also a little bit of sarcasm and the occasional effing blind. So thank you very much.
I almost like want that to be our mission in 2024, be the change you want to see. I like that. I like it.
Yeah, no, you're right. I like that too.
Yeah. Right on. Thank you, everybody, for joining. This has been another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. Very much looking forward to 2024. Stay safe, healthy, and happy, everyone. We love you all. Have a good week.